The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayera. Last week, we spoke of how Avraham and Sarah were the great Marbitzei Torah, the great spreaders of Torah, that they went and they taught Torah to so many people, to almost all of the world. They had yeshivas, and this was the first time that Torah was taught in such a fashion. He brought the name of Hashem into the world. And on the pasuk that we learned last week, in last week's Seder, in Parshas Lech Lecha, es ha-nefesh asher osu b'choron, all of the souls which they made in Choron by teaching them Torah. And the Gemara tells us that until that time, it was Teyu Vavayu. It was 2,000 years of emptiness in the world. And from that time started the period of Torah, of the light of Torah in the world. This evening, I would like to spend some time on a different aspect of Avraham. And that not of the great Marbitz Torah, the one who spread Torah, but we see that he was also great in the middle of Derech Eretz. He was also great in the quality of what the Chazal say, Derech Eretz. And this is a different, just the other end, the other extreme. Because Torah is known as the Chochma HaElyona. It's the wisdom that comes from the Olam HaElyon, the upper worlds. It is the highest level of wisdom in the world. It's a spiritual wisdom, a chochma nivdelis, where it is separated from the physical world. The Recheretz is known as the chochma so'oretz. It is the wisdom of the land. It is the wisdom, chochma ha'anushis. It is the wisdom of people. And this is why it is a wisdom chochma tachteina. It is known as the lower wisdom. And this is why it's called Derech Eretz, because it's the way that a person is obligated to walk on this world, since he lives on this world. It is the way that a person is obligated to conduct himself in society, since he is a member of society. Now we will elaborate. The Torah tells us in this week's Parsha that Avraham went to debate with the Almighty on the future of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were the two wicked cities, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy them. And this took place, this debate took place after the angels came to Avraham. And it states in Posuk Tes Zayin, Vayakumu Mishom Anoshim Vayashkifu Al Pnei Sodom, that these people who were angels, Avraham didn't know that, they got up and they looked towards Sodom because they were on their journey to Sodom to destroy it for Hashem. Avraham Helech Imam Neshalchon. And Avraham walked with them to see them off. Why did he walk with them to see them off? Here he was fulfilling the mitzvah of Leviah, where he was escorting Orchim. Avraham was the founders of that mitzvah, and therefore he walked with them. And he walked with them, therefore, on the road, well out of his camp, his residency. A little later in the Torah, in Parshas, also in the Parsha, but in Perek Yutes, Posuk Chof Zayin, after he was unsuccessful in trying to convince the Almighty to save Sodom v'Amora. So it states that the next morning, Vayashkem Avram Babeker, Avram got up first thing in the morning, Alamokem Asher Omat Shom Es Pnei Hashem. And he went to that same place where he was speaking to Hashem. Torah tells us that Hashem came to speak to him where he left off from the Orchim, from the travelers. So this was out in the field, in the woods. So Avram went to that same place the next morning. Why did he go? What for? So the Gemara brings in Brochus
Gemara brings, he went to Lispalel. He went to be Mispalel.
Actually, this is where Abraham instituted the Tfilah Shachris.
What did he go to be Mispalel for?
Again, he wanted to be Mispalel. He wanted to pray for the welfare of Sodom and Gomorrah.
So the Gemara, the Medrash,
Tanhuma, in Parshas Bei, states in the Posuk, Vatem leitzesu ish mi Pesach beisei ad boker, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael that that night when I'm coming through Egypt and I'm going to kill all of the firstborn, therefore you shall not go out of your houses until morning. Magid mishenitna reshus lemalachin mafchin bein tzadik l'rosho. So we see that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bringing, heaven forbid, death into Egypt, it was dangerous for anyone to go out, because once the Malach HaMavis is given such license, so he doesn't distinguish between those who are righteous and those who are not. But then it states that at night you shouldn't go out, but in the morning you could. So the Gemara says, we see from here that the Mazikin, that the Keches Hara, the
destructive powers, whether it's spiritual destructive powers or physical destructive powers, because that take hold at night. We have in Tehillim what it states, that at night, that's when all of the wild beasts come out. And when the sun comes up, they all go back.
So therefore, at night do not go out, but in the morning you can. So from here, the Medrash learns, L'lam dechoshetei nichnas b'chitayv v'yetze b'chitayv. From here we learn that where possible, a person, if he's going to travel on the road, he shouldn't leave before dawn. He should wait for the first rays of the sun. And when he is traveling and the sun starts to set, so then he should pull in and look for a place for the night. But he shouldn't be out in the open after dark. Now this is called Derech Eretz. This is not one of the Taryag mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs, but this is a Derech Eretz. This is a chokhmah, a wisdom, which is demanded by good common sense, by good sense of dwelling on this world, to guard yourself against dangers. So the Medrash says, perhaps you would think that this is good for regular people. So regular people have to guard themselves very carefully and take everything into consideration and precautions and so forth. But very, very great people, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly does miracles for, and he watches, so it's not necessary for them to be cognizant of this Derech Eretz. The Medrash says, no. We find that the forefathers and the prophets also took precaution from this Derech Eretz. The first source is the Pasuk we read, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. Avraham wanted to go to that same place where he left off with the Orchim, and there HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to speak to him and to continue his debate with Hashem and to be mispalel to pray for Sodom and Amorah. So why does it say Vayashkem Avraham Baboker? Why did he get up at the morning to go? He should have gotten up 2-3 hours before dawn to go. Why did he wait for the sun to come up? So you see, Avraham didn't want to go out before the sun was there. Because when you go out into the fields, in the dark, it's dangerous. And we find this by Shmuel, it brings, by Yaakov, by Yashkim, Yaakov Baboket. Yaakov slept at Beis El. And he continued his journey. He didn't leave until dawn.
Didn't leave in the middle of the night.
By Yashkim Shmuel Babaker, we find this by Shmuel. By Yochum Shaul Babaker, we find this by Shaul. By Halei Dvorim Kal Vachemer, and this is a Kal Vachemer. This is a strong logic for us. Uma im Oves Eilam Vanevim Shaul Cholasi Sitzain Shul Mishom Avei El Eilam.
if the great fathers of the world and the prophets, that they went to fulfill the word of the Creator. And they should have said that, what do I have to do with the ways of the physical world? That's not for me. I go with miracles. See? I can walk out into the fields or anywhere in the middle of the night. And still, they were Noagu B'derech Eretz. They guarded the way of the Oretz, the way of the land. Al achas kama v'kamo shar kol odom. So how much more so is it for everyone? And the morale brings out that even though we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did many, many miracles for Abraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov, but that was just l'shaw. Those were temporary miracles. And that was behechrich, where it was needed. There was no other alternative. But there keva, that the person's conduct all of the time, in same thing alanes, the Gemara says, that cannot be with miracles. There he must go with the way the world goes. He has to be mispalo to Hashem to help him. But he has to go walk in the way of the world. This we find also in the Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara brings from the brothers of Yosef. Gemara brings in Masechet Pesachim right in the beginning. First daf of Masechet Pesachim. There's a pasuk in Bereishis Mem Dalet, that's in Parshas Miketz. It states, Habeke Or Vanoshim Shulchu. When the brothers of Yosef came to buy grain, and they were ready to go back the next day, so it states, Haboker Or, the morning gave light, and the men went forth. So the Gemara says, what does it mean that the morning gave light? So the Gemara says, the Torah is telling us, what does it have to say, the morning gave light, and the men went on their journey? It should say the men went on their journey. They were going back to their father Yaakov. What is it telling us? Kitav Yehuda Amarav. It's telling us like what Rabbi Yehuda Amarav said. Domer of Yehuda Amarav, le'elam yikonis odem b'chitev v'yetze b'chitev. That when a person goes out on a journey, he must wait till daybreak to go. And when he comes, when it comes towards evening, he must pull in to his place of camping or residency before nightfall. So Rashi says, Ulefi dakeli matcho akos of derech eretz. This posuk in the Torah, Haboker Or, is teaching us derech eretz, that we have to go with our common sense, with the way of the land. Me'achi Yosef, from the brothers of Yosef, shehimtinu ad sheheir amizrak, that they would not go out on the journey until the eastern horizon had started to light up. And they didn't say, what do we have to worry about that? We can leave early on. Another example of this is in last week's Sedra by Avraham. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Pasuk Yud Beis, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Gimel, Avraham went down to Egypt. There was a famine in the land, and Avraham started to go down to the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, and then because of the famine, he went into Egypt. And as he was going, so he camped, or he lodged, at various points. Then came the episode of Paray with Sora. Then Avraham returned. So it states, Vayelech lamasov, lamasov minegev ad beisel. Avraham returned to the same place where he was to begin with, Lemasov. He returned. Lemasov means with those travels. So what does that mean? That he took the exact same route back as he did when he went down. What is the Torah telling us? So the Torah says, Rashi brings,
כשחוזם ממצרים לארץ כנען, היה הילך ולון באכסניו שלון בהם ועלי חוסה למצרים. That he made a point to stay over in the same lodging places on his return trip as he did when he went down. He wasn't Mishana, he didn't change his lodging places. This is what the Torah is telling us. Why? Lematcho derech eretz, to teach us derech eretz. Shlei shana odem me'achsanyo shelei. That a person should not change his lodging places when he goes on a trip. Now why shouldn't he? So the Goraye, the Maralvin Goraye, brings two reasons. One reason is that shelei yetzi shemra alahachs balachsanyo. If a person stays in one hotel on the way there, on the way back he stays in a different hotel, so he's going to cause a bad name to the hotel owner. People will think he wasn't satisfied, and this is why he changed his hotel. And it's not derech eretz to cause harm to someone else in such a way. So therefore he should make a point to use the same places on the way back that he did there. That's one reason. A second reason is shelei lahetzi shem ra al atzmo, that he shouldn't cause a bad name to himself, because people might think, why didn't he use the same hotel? Because they didn't want him there anymore. He was a bad customer, a bad guest, and they didn't want him. So therefore he would be causing a bad name to himself, and we'll see a little later that that also is not derech eretz. For a person not to be makbid, for a person not to uphold his self-esteem or self-respect, it's also a lack of derech eretz. His good name. So therefore, the Torah went to the trouble to tell us that Avraham was vayelech lemasorov, to tell us that Avraham stayed at the exact same places on his return journey as he did when he came down. And Avraham did this because of midas derech eretz. And the Torah tells us this, lematchot derech eretz, in order that we should learn derech eretz from Avraham, the way of the land, the good way, the proper conduct of a person who lives in this world. Another example we have in Parshas Chayisora, which will be next week's Parsha. In the beginning of Parshas Chayisora, in the Perichov Gimel, Posuk Zayin, and Posuk Yud Beis, we have the discussion, the negotiations that take place between Avraham and the Bnei Ches. Avraham needed a piece of land to bury Sora. So he had his eye on a certain spot. Actually, it was Hebron, the Moris Machpelah. He went to the owners of this land, the children of Ches, and he negotiated. He asked them to sell him a piece of land. So the Torah elaborates. Now, in their eyes, Avraham was a nobleman. They called him Nesi Elokim, the prince of Hashem. Avraham was a nobleman. He was a king. We see that wherever he went, he was in association with kings, with Pari, with Avimelech, and so forth. In Posuk Zayin, after they told him, they said, you are a prince of God amongst us, and no one will withhold land from you to bury your dead. States, Vayokam Avraham, Vayishtachu le'amoretz libnei ches. Avraham got up. He stood up and he bowed down to the Bnei Ches. Now, why did he do this? He stood up and bowed down to them. This was good manners. That they had told him that they would grant his request. So even though he was a king, he was a nobleman, he wanted to show respect to them. So he stood up. Evidently, the negotiations took place when they were sitting down. So he stood up by Yochem Avraham, and he bowed down to the children of Ches. And the Torah takes the trouble to tell us this. Then the negotiations went further, and he asked for a particular piece of land. He says, I would like this piece of land, Moris Machpelah. And they said, that belongs to Ephron. You must speak to Ephron, which he did. And Ephron said, yes, I will give you the cave of Machpelah, and I will give you the field to bury your dead.
So the Torah tells us again.
Vayishtachu Avraham lifnei am ha'aretz. Avraham again bowed
to the people. To teach us derech eretz. That the proper discipline when you're dealing with people is to show respect and to show thanks. And since they acquiesced to his proposal, so Avraham got up and he bowed to them.
Another example we had recently, and this was not by the Ovesailam, by Avraham, but even by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was in Parshas Bereishis, at the beginning of the Sefer Torah. And Parshas Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Posuk Vav. It states as follows, Vayem Elokim, and Hashem said, Nase Odom B'Tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. Let us make a man in our image, in our form. And he shall rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven, and over the animal and over everything that crawls on the earth. The question is asked, who did Hashem say this to? Hashem said, Nase Odom. Who did Hashem say this to? And what does it mean, Nase Odom? Let us make a man, B'Tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu, in our form. Who is the us that is making it together with Hashem? Nobody made man together with Hashem. Hashem made him alone. So what does this mean?
So Rashi brings from the Medrash two things we learn from here. In the Sonusei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lamadnu, Mikan.
From here we learn the humility, the humbleness of the Almighty.
Lefisha Odom b'dimyon
ha-malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to make the greatest creation of the entire creation, man. And man is similar to the angels. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worried that the angels are going to be very jealous of man. In many ways, man is greater than the angels. Therefore, it was in the sonusai and derech eretz. It was the humbleness of Hashem and derech eretz. It was good sense and good manners to let them know beforehand what he's going to do, and to discuss it with them. Even though they had nothing to say. If they would have said no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still would have made man. Nevertheless, when you're working together with people, even though you're the boss, and they are the subordinates, it is good manners, and it is good sense, and it is respectful to call them in when you're going to take a major decision. Tell them you're thinking of making such a decision. Hear what they have to say on it, whether you're prepared to listen to them or not, and then go ahead and do it. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayem Elokim, who did he say this to? Hashem said to the angels, Nase Odom, let us make a man in our image and in our form.
So Rashi says, Lefichoch nimlot behem, ukishu don.
We find the same thing when Hashem judges the angels. Because it states, one of the prophets had an image, a vision, where he saw the court of the Almighty. So what did he see? Hashem was sitting on his throne, and all of the other angels, or all of his hosts, were to the right and to the left. What does it mean, to the right and to the left? That those that were voting, that Hashem should do be merciful, they were on the right. And those that said that Hashem should take action, they were on the left. What do we see? That before HaKadosh Baruch Hu does anything, he discusses it with his associates. And he gets permission from them.
Afalpi.
Even though they didn't help in the creation at all. And this pasuk
The Medrash tells us it's a very dangerous pasuk to write. Why? Because it says, Nase Odom b'tzalmeinu kidusenu. We shall make man. This implies that there was more than one power that made man. It implies that there were more than one. And this pasuk is an opening for meaning. For those that want to deny the oneness of Hashem, they have a source in this pasuk, it would seem. So it was a dangerous pasuk to write, a dangerous sentence to write. Still, leilim nimna akosuv, even though jesh mokem leminim laradis, leilim na akosuv milalam chod derecheres umidas anova. Still, the Torah did not refuse to write this pasuk, did not refrain to write it, in order to teach us derecheres and anova, and humbleness. Sheagodl nimlach v'neitel reshus min akotan. That the leader should nevertheless discuss what he's going to do with some of his followers and ask him for permission. So here we have that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makpir on Derech Eretz. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is for those who live on this world. But nevertheless, he was very demanding it in order to teach us Derech Eretz. There are many such examples throughout the entire Torah. We don't have time this evening to quote more, but these should suffice for an illustration. Now, Derech Eretz, this term encompasses many different facets when the sages refer to this. For example, it refers to malocha, to work, physical labor, or any type of labor. It's called Derech Eretz. Panosa, earning a livelihood, is referred to as Derech Eretz. Shmiras Aguf, Vabriyas, guarding one's health, that's referred to as Derech Eretz. Midas Achila. There are many, many Gemaras. The fact is, there's an entire Mesechta, which is called Mesechta Derech Eretz, a whole tractate Derech Eretz. And a good part gives full attention to teaching one the proper way to eat and the proper foods to eat. Nimusim umides vahanogas tevis, bein abriyos. When it comes to proper conduct between man and his fellow man, what is the proper conduct? What is the proper manners? The norms? All of this is referred to as Derech Eretz. And why? So the Maral explains. Because there is what is known as Chochmah Elyona, the wisdom which comes from the higher worlds. That's the Torah. And then there's a Chochmah Tachteina, there's a lower wisdom that comes from the earth, from the land, from the people of the land. And that's Derech Eretz. If man would be an angel and he wouldn't live on this world, then he would have no use for Derech Eretz, because Derech Eretz is the way you should walk on the earth. If man would live only on the earth, like an animal, then he'd have no use for the Torah. He would just have to know how to walk on the earth. But man is from both worlds. Man was created min adoma, he was created from the earth, and vayipach bapov nishmas chayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into him a living soul from above. So he's from both worlds. Therefore, he needs the Chochmah Elyona, he needs the wisdom that comes from the higher worlds, the Torah. But he also lives on this world, so therefore he needs also the Chochmah Tachteina, the wisdom that comes from, that teaches us, and that demands from us how one should walk on this earth. Therefore, he needs both. And everyone needs it. Anyone who's on this world. Even the greatest. Like we learn from Abraham and Yitzchok, many times we read stories. You know, there's a tremendous wealth of Jewish legend and myth. Tremendous wealth built up through the generations. And many times we read stories about great Jews, and we like to think, and the authors that write these stories like us to think,
that their whole conduct was one of miracles. One of miracles. Now, this is a lie. This is not so. This is what the Midrash tells us, that even Avraham, wherever he could, guarded their heritage. Even Yitzchak and Yaakov, there can be no one greater than them. Yes, it's true. There were certain times. Because Baruch Hu told Moshe to come up to the mountain. Told him to come up to the mountain and stay there for 40 days and 40 nights without eating. And there Moshe saw the angels not eating. And he said, the derech eretz on the earth is you do the way people on the earth do. So when you're up in the mountain by the angels, you do as the angels do. But this was only where HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw it was absolutely necessary and for a very temporary time. But in general, derech tfias, they guarded all of the moors, all of the norms of their heritage. I once heard from a very good senior colleague who was the Rav of St. Louis, Rav Eichenstein, Zeichet Tzadik Levrocha. Now he said, Pshat in the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, that it states on Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Shimon ben Yochai went into the cave and he was there for years together with his son and they learned Torah. And they were fed by all types of miracles. Birds would come and bring them food and so forth and so on. They were hiding from the Romans. And then they came to the greatest secrets of Torah. Then it states that when finally he was able to come out of the cave because the danger of the Romans weren't there anymore, and he saw a farmer planting. And after 7 years in the cave, he couldn't understand how could you give away from your life and your energies to the earth, to something so earthly. And he became so upset that he started to glare at the farmer, and all of a sudden everything caught fire. Because for 7 years, day and night, they had lived in accordance to miracles. And a voice of heaven came down and said, did you come out of the cave to destroy my world? Go back into the cave. So Rabbi Eichenstein said, why? Because that was the proper conduct in the cave, but not in the world. In a cave of miracles, that's how one has to live, like they lived, but not in this world. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go back to the cave if you're coming to destroy my world. And both of these levels are mukhrach. They're not choice. They must be. A person cannot say, well, I'll go the way of the land, but I'm not interested in further levels like Torah. Or I'm interested in levels of Torah, but I don't want to have my feet on the ground. Both are imperative. Because it states when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, after the 6 days of Malacha, after the 6 days of creation, then he made a condition. He's now HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tanai Maisa Bereishis. He says, if on the 6th day of Sivan, Klal Yisrael will receive the Torah and bring the Torah into the world, then it shall exist. If not, I will return the world to what it was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not interested in only an earthly world. So if there's also the level of Torah, there'll be a world. There'll be also an earthly world. But if not, there'll be nothing. And the same thing vice versa. Because man is on this land. Man is like the ladder which Yaakov saw in the vision, Sula Mutzav Arso, the foundation is on the earth, Bereshim Agiyah Shemaim, and the head goes into the heavens. And therefore, he needs the wisdom of both levels. This is why that the first 6 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the nature, the earthly nature, and there were Yemei Malocha, days of work. That's Derech Eretz. Then came Shabbos. Shabbos is beyond this world. Nature stops. Man stops. The creation stopped. So Shabbos is beyond this world. And then on the eighth day, not on the eighth day, but at the eighth level, he gave Torah. At a later date, he told Klal Yisrael that they shall count 7 weeks from the going out of Egypt, and at the beginning of the eighth day, which was Shavuos, he will give Torah.
Therefore it states in the Mishnah Ovis, Per Gimel Yud Zayin, Reb Lezer ben Azaya Emer, Im ein Torah, ein derech Eretz. Im ein derech Eretz, ein Torah.
It's impossible one without the other. If there is no Torah, if a person is a Baal derech Eretz, he's careful in all facets of derech Eretz, but he has no Torah, then the derech Eretz also is not a derech Eretz. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not only create the 6 days of work, he created a Shabbos, he created a Torah also. And he made a condition that this must become part and parcel of the world. So therefore, someone who is only a genius in Derech Eretz, but there are no levels of Torah, now that's emptiness and void. He made Torah in Derech Eretz. He made Derech Eretz in Torah. If there's no Derech Eretz, even though the person is great in Torah, the Torah is also not a Torah. Why? Because the Derech Eretz is the Yisod. The Derech Eretz is the foundation for the Torah. First he created the 6 days of work. Then came Shabbos. Then came Torah. The Derech Eretz is the foundation. How can a person come to a Chochma Elyena? How can a person come to a higher wisdom without understanding Chochmas HaTachtena, the wisdom of where he lives? So therefore, unfortunately, too many people today are not aware of it. That im ein derech eretz ein Torah. That without derech eretz, the Torah is not a Torah. Because the higher wisdom is built on the lower wisdom.
And if he doesn't have the foundation, how will he have the other? And that's why, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave derech eretz to the world. Only later did he give Torah.
Where do we see this? Because Derech Eretz was given to the world immediately. When he created the world, he taught the world the wisdom of Derech Eretz. Torah was given 26 generations later. Torah was officially given to the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was 26 generations later. Avraham was the first one to teach Torah in this fashion. That was 2,000 years later. Derech Eretz preceded Torah by 2,000 years or 26 generations.
There's a Tanna de Eliyahu in Perek Aleph states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam, he says, Lishmor es derech etz hachayim. God, this was
by the Malach, but to guard the derech etz hachayim, the road, the path, to the tree of life. So the Medrash Darshins expounds Derech, that refers to Derech Eretz. Eitz HaChaim, that refers to Torah. Derech Eitz HaChaim, which you must guard, that refers to Derech Eretz. And Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, is refers to Torah, because Torah is called the tree.
And Melamed, Shekodma Derech Eretz, the Teir Alpaim Shona.
And the Medrash says that we see that Derech Eretz was given immediately, Torah only 2,000 years later. Therefore, Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Why? For the simple reason, because how can a person acquire a wisdom which is totally detached from this world before a wisdom that is part of this world? Therefore, the Derech Eretz is Kodma. Therefore, you mean Derech Eretz ain't Torah. Without the Derech Eretz, the Torah would collapse. This we see illustrated in the growth of a person. When a person grows, a child grows, first he grows in derech eretz. First he learns to sit, and then he learns to stand, and then he learns to walk, he learns to talk, he learns to eat, he learns to sleep, he learns to move, to coordinate himself. That's all derech eretz. Only later is he ready to start learning the Torah. Accordingly, someone who has both Torah and derech eretz, then this is the Odom HaSholem. This person is striving for perfection. Someone who lacks this, then he is, we could call, Eino Min HaYishuv. He's a person who's not Min HaYishuv. Min HaYishuv means he's not a civilized person. Because not only does he lack Torah, which takes away his maila, takes away his high level, but if he lacks derech eretz, then he's not from civilization. Because as mentioned, this is the way that the earth demands one lives. And this is what it states in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us in Masechta Kedushin, at the end of the first paragraph, Mem Amud Beis, the Mishnah says, Kol sheyeshnei b'mikra b'mishnah v'derech eretz. Whoever, he learns mikra. This is Chumash and Tanakh. He learns Mishnah. And he has derech eretz. He's a student of derech eretz. Then lei b'mehera hu chayta. Then he will not quickly sin. As it states, v'achuta meshulish lei b'mehera yonotek. Because a piece of rope which is twined with three strands will not come apart so quickly. The Baral says the mikra, the chumash, this is the chokhmah v'ashem. The Mishnah is like the middle point. And the derech eretz, this is the wisdom of the earth. V'chol she'ein alei b'mikra v'alei b'mishnah v'alei b'derech eretz. But someone who is not, he has no chumash and nach. He has no mishnah. He has no derech eretz. Ain't a min hayishuv. So he's not min hayishuv. This is a person, not a person who's not learned. A person who doesn't know mishnah and mikra. That's a person who's not learned. But a person who's also not b'derech eretz. But we mentioned all of the facets of derech eretz. Whatever is required, because he's a person that lives together in a society, in a civilization. Then that person is not a not learned person. That person is not a person. He's a savage. He's not Min HaYishuv. He belongs in the field. He belongs in the woods. This is what the Gemara says. Ain't a Min HaYishuv. In Yiddish, the term was, as can mention it. Now, this was the term. I can mention it. He's not a person. Yes, he lives. He walks. But animals live and walk too. There's a chazal we brought, I think it was last week, Nimshlo Kibahemus Nidmu. There are times when people become compared to animals. What is the difference between a person and an animal? In his anhanoga, in his conduct, in his wisdom. So a person, we'll see in a minute, if a person at least has derech eretz, except he doesn't have wisdom, all right, he lacks wisdom. But at least he's a person. He's a mensch. But if he's lei b'mikra, v'lei b'mishnah, v'lei b'derech eretz, then he's like the animal. The animal also is not min hayishuv. He's not in the civilization. Moral always says that you always find places in the world where people live. This is civilization. This is society. And you find places in the world where people don't live. In the places in the world where people don't live, this is where the wildlife lives. Go to the deserts or to the jungles or to the bush or to the sea. And that's always called Eino Min HaYishuv. That's not the Yishuv. That's not the civilized areas of the world. So this is what the Mishnah is telling us, that a person who's not, doesn't have wisdom of Torah, and he doesn't have Derech Eretz also, then he's a savage. He's Eira Min HaYishuv. The Gemara goes further. Upasal le'edus, Gemara says. He's pasal le'edus. You cannot accept his testimony in court. If a person like that comes to testify, we don't believe him.
Then the Gemara says, A'echel b'shuk.
Someone who always eats in the marketplace. The Gemara says he lacks Derech Eretz. He's Demi Lekelev. He's not Min HaYishuv. He's not a mensch. Aye, he eats. A dog also eats. A dog eats in the marketplace. But a dog is supposed to eat in the marketplace. This is why he's a dog. He's a kelev. But if a person eats in the marketplace all the time, he goes around and eating in the marketplace. So the Gemara says, this is the conduct of a kelev, of a dog. Deimel a kelev. And posel eidus. And his testimony is not accepted in court. Because he's eino min haderech eretz. He's not min haYishuv. Now there are two reasons why his testimony shouldn't be accepted. Why should this affect his testimony? There are two reasons.
Rashi says, the kivin sheino min haYishuv.
Since he's not a member of society. He's a savage. So therefore, ein makbir al atzmai. He has no respect for himself. Ein lebeishes ponim. He has no shame. He has no respect for himself. He has no self-esteem. B'chein eichel b'shuk. And the same thing, someone who eats publicly all the time in the marketplace is the same thing. And v'ein makbir al kfeidei. And a person who doesn't have respect for himself, so how can he have respect for someone else? For himself he has no respect, he should have respect for others. The Gemara says we learned that in our Amoras, if a person doesn't have respect for his own life, he's certainly not going to have respect for your life. So here, if a person doesn't have respect for his own honor, don't expect him to have respect for your honor. And therefore, in a beish lezal ze atzmei v'lifshol, so how can you trust his testimony? Someone testifies and he knows that a man's honor is at stake. He knows a man's money is at stake. A man's name is at stake. So this is a machriach. This places a moral demand on the person to tell exactly what the truth was. But here you bring in this. In Yiddish you call him a wilde chaya. So you bring in this guy. And he has no self-respect for himself. So we should rely on his testimony to render judgment when it comes in, when someone else's respect or name or money is involved. Therefore, he's postulated. This is the simple meaning, the simple pshat. The Baral goes deeper. He says, what is edus, testimony? It's very deep. He says this in many places. Testimony is to determine what is the truth and what is real and what is fact, to distinguish between fact and fiction, to distinguish between truth and falsehood. This is what testimony is. Why do you call witnesses? Because we want to distinguish between what is and what is not, fact and fiction, truth and falsehood. We want to know reality. What did take place? We want to know reality. He says, people who are part of the Yishuv, this is the reality of the world. The reality of the world is the civilization of the world. People, that what lives in the bush, or in the high seas, he says, that's not part of civilization of the world. That's not the reality of the world. If a person himself is not from the reality of the world, how can he testify and tell us what is real and what is not? And therefore we cannot accept his testimony. So therefore someone who's not b'derech eretz, then he's not from the real world. If he's not from the real world, so how can we bring him in court and let he will tell us what's real? The Rambam brings, in Perek Yud Aleph, of Hilchas Eidus,
begin in the Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Eidos. The Rambam says like this. He brings this. Mishen Aleba Mikra Aleba Nisham Aleba Derech Eretz. Someone who doesn't have these things, you cannot give him, allow him to testify in court. Then he says like this. Lefichoch Ein Meisrin Eidos Le'am Oretz. If you have an ignoramus, an ignorant Jew, he says, an ignorant Jew that never learned and he knows nothing, and someone wants to call him into court to testify on his behalf, he says, you do not give this man testimony, el imkein, unless he's huksak, unless it's established, shu'esik b'mitzvahs, that is a person who does mitzvahs, gemilas chasodim, he does chesed, neig b'darkei ayishorim, if he's a person who walks in the upright path, v'yesh b'derech eretz, and he has derech eretz, then mekabli neidusay, then you accept his edus, afal pishu amoris vein aleib mikra aleib mishnah, even though he's ignorant in chumash and mishnah, you accept his edus. So what is the Rambam telling us? If a person has Torah and he has derech eretz, all right, then he's striving for perfection. If he lacks Torah, he never learned. So he lacks Torah. But nevertheless, he does mitzvahs. He does chesed. He's a generous, kind person. He walks in an upright path. And he has derech eretz. All right, then he lacks Torah. But he's still from the yishuv. He's a mensch. So you can give him testimony. But if you get a person that not only lacks Torah, but he lacks derech eretz also, then he's not mina yishu, he's not a mensch, he's not a person. And you cannot give him testimony. You cannot trust his testimony in court. Then, the Gemara goes one step further. The Gemara says, it says, someone who is not b'derech eretz, you should stay away from. If you know a person who is not b'derech eretz, all of these things that we mentioned, right? When it comes to working, when it comes to panoso, when it comes to manners, and so forth, says you should stay away from him. Don't be in his company. How do we know? Where does it say that you can't keep company with someone who's not b'derech eretz? A rosha, a wicked person, it says. But how do we know not b'derech eretz? So the Gemara brings the posuk of Meshiv Leitzim LeYoshev. Because David HaMelech said that I never sat together with Leitzim. Leitzim, Letzonas, these are scoffers, people who mock all of the time. People who are mocking and who waste away their days and nights scoffing and mocking and doing nothing. So it says, "B'meishiv leitzim leYoshev." David HaMelech said that I never sat together with leitzim. From here we learn that a person who's not b'derech eretz, stay away from him. Now, what is the link to someone who's not b'derech eretz to leitzim? So the Maral explains. See, what is a leitz? A leitz is someone. This is something which might be a little difficult for us to understand today. But a leitz is someone who loses touch with reality. Because we have terms, for example, nonsense. What does nonsense mean? Nonsense means that it doesn't make sense. Sense is reality. Nonsense doesn't make sense. We have terms of games. We play games, or play, or we watch a play. Now, why is that called a play? Because it's not real. Why is this called a game? You sit down and you play a game of bridge, or you play a game of chess, or a game of Monopoly. So it's a contest. You're at war with each other. There's different armies and so forth, but it's a game. Why is it a game? Because it's not real. Now, we have, in Western culture, we have sunk so deep into the non-real world that we don't even realize how much time we give away to non-realities.
But this would all be classified as nonsense, because this is not sense. This is not real. This is play. This is what is classified as leitzim. Leitzim are people who detach themselves from the real world. And they are involved in non-realities, in non-real worlds. And that's why a scoffer, someone who always scoffs, Mora says, let's leitz achas decha mea techechas. So this is beetle. Someone who tries to downgrade the world. You try to build, he downgrades. You try to construct, he tears down. This is mocking. This is scoffery. This is Litzonis. Now we understand why someone who's not the Derech Eretz is a Leitz. The Gemara brings in Sanhedrin. Gemara says that people who make a living by being Mesachik Lekuvia. Mesachik Lekuvia was gambling. A person who makes a living, a person's a professional gambler. He makes a living by betting on the horses, see, or by gambling. So the Gemara brings his posel Eidus. According to one opinion, you can't accept him for Eidus. He cannot testify. Why? Because the Gemara says that he's not Eisig be Yeshiva Shalalem. Because he doesn't work to build the world. He's detached from the real world. His whole occupation is that of games. His whole occupation is that of non-realities. People say, what's the difference how you make a living? There is a difference. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put people in the world to build the world. See, Leitei Varo. He says, I created a world not to be desolate, but to be built up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants people to build his world. That's why he wants people who are Eisig B'Derech Eretz. So a person who makes a living by nonsense, by non-realities, to him he's not part to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is not a member of the civilized world. Because he's not occupying himself in a Eisig B'Yeshivu Shalalem. So now we see that if someone who's not B'Derech Eretz, so then he's not from the civilized world, he's not building up civilization. And he's the Leitzim. And therefore, David HaMelech said that I would never sit in their company. So from here we see how not important Derech Eretz is. People tell you Derech Eretz is important also. It's not important. But it's imperative. It's vital to the world. It's not optional. It is the chokhmah that one has to conduct himself with in this world, because he's a member of this world, and therefore society demands it. And it's as vital to the world as Torah is. And Torah cannot be built on it unless it's Derech Eretz, because this is the foundation. And therefore, if there's Derech Eretz, there can be Torah. If there's no Derech Eretz, there cannot be Torah. Ain't Torah. In our world today, we speak it's a world without Torah. Unfortunately, it's more than that. It's not only a world without Torah, it's a world without Derech Eretz. Even Derech Eretz has been lost from the world. And it's affected all over. I'll give a few examples. You have today, society demands, requires a certain dress code. Why do people dress? They dress according to acceptable norms in society. And there are reasons for it. And the dress changes in accordance to the locale, climates, and so forth. You've got today your campuses of the Western culture. There they dress as tramps. See? Full stop. Students on campuses dress as tramps. Not only do they dress as tramps, but they dress as outcasts from society. Because if you go into all of your grade schools or your high schools, there are dress codes. Once someone comes out of university and he goes to work, he would lose his job in 5 minutes if he didn't dress properly. We have many students that come in here to learn while they're in the campus. They come dressed as a tramp. One day later, they took a job. This one's an accountant, this is someone else. He comes with a suit, a beautiful suit, beautiful shirt, beautiful tie, leather briefcase. He comes you couldn't have more spit and polish in the best British Army. This is one day later. So what are the campuses then? What are they? They're Ein Amina Yishuv. They have created for themselves where they are not part of society. Exactly. Why? And this is because you have all of your liberal academics that have been trying to tell the world what is the way a person should walk in and what is not. They've been teaching the world derech eretz, or lack of derech eretz. Why parents tolerate this, or government tolerates this, I don't know. They're the ones who are subsidizing these liberals, these universities. But it's come to a point. Now, this was not always. In America, this started 25 years ago. 35 years ago, it didn't exist. 35 years ago, you walked into a campus like that, you would have been thrown out in 2 minutes. But they've created now where the campus is a pocket in which you're Ein Bederach Eretz. So it's Ein Mina Yishuv. Now, the campus are supposed to be, from there is supposed to come out the academic direction for the entire world.
At least that's what they claim. A second example.
You have, when it comes to public dress, you have many forms of public dress that there have been many radical movements that have tried to push into society. And also completely destroying derech eretz. Certain types of dress that would never be acceptable in any level of society because of reasons of immodesty or other reasons. Except they try to convince us that what's wrong? What's wrong?
Why do we need derech eretz? Another example. If you
today read a book or turn on the TV or watch a movie or a video, there was a time when people, when they spoke amongst men, people talked to people. They spoke in public. They watched the language. See? Language had to be proper. Today, the foul language, the profane language that is on public broadcasts, okay, is totally appalling. I mean, it's to a degree where you can only say it's Ein Bederach Eretz. It's totally not Bederach Eretz. I remember when I was a young boy in junior high school, in high school, we used to get a long summer holiday. It was called a summer vacation for about 2.5 months. So we used to look for jobs to keep us busy and to make a little money. We used to look for jobs 2.5, 3 months. And naturally, it was a job for unskilled labor, because we weren't qualified for anything else. So we used to pick up a summer job. Being that it was unskilled labor, so the company of people that you were working with was not always the best company. And I remember many times, you know, we were doing some type of manual labor, and we had people going around us that were not from the highest class. And many, on many occasions, I remember that a young kid would open his mouth, a foul mouth, and an older guy would tell him, he would say, keep quiet, you don't talk like that in front of a woman. He would tell him, you don't talk like that in front of a woman. Now this older non-Jew that would speak to him was not with a university degree. See, he was working manual labor someplace. But this was accepted, that you don't swear or curse or say anything profane in front of a woman. This was accepted norms of society. A woman walked into the room, people started to talk differently.
today you see the movies or the television. The women are talking that way. Yes, that women open a mouth that society would have never allowed any man to talk that way in the presence of a woman. This is how women are talking. This also comes. It also comes from the whole liberal movement, because this is freedom of expression. See, this is known as freedom, freedom of dramatics, freedom of free expression. You can't hamper speech and so forth and so on. But this lets us know where the world is falling, not only in Torah. See, it's not only Einu B'mikra B'mishnah, but Einu B'derech Eretz, which is supposed to be the Chochmah Tachteina, the lower level of the wisdom. And unfortunately, what's in the world seeps into Klal Yisrael, and what's in Klal Yisrael seeps into the Jewish camps, the so-called Torah camps. And it's tragic. Therefore, we must learn from this, and like the Medrash Tanchuma says, that Afilo Oveso Ola, even the forefathers of the world, were careful to be Noagu B'derech Eretz. And the Torah took great concern to write this in many, many, many places in the Torah. We see, Limatcho HaKosuv Derech Eretz. Why did the Torah write it? To teach us Derech Eretz. And we have, the Gemara is full. There are many dinim, many laws which are brought that are not dinim. It's not from the 613 mitzvahs. It's not from the mitzvahs that the Nevi'im made. It's not from the mitzvahs that the rabbis made. For example, I'll give you an example. On the Gemara tells us what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat in many places. So, for example, the Gemara says, what should you do with your money? How should you invest your money? Or build a house first and then get married. These are not from the mitzvahs. These are categorized because they teach, this is Derech Eretz, from the Chochmah's Derech Eretz. Maral writes, he says that the majority of Masechta Ovis is Derech Eretz, Musa v'Derech Eretz. And there's a whole Masechta called Derech Eretz. So you see, a great portion of the Torah was to teach us the Derech Eretz, because the Torah itself rests on it. Anyone who wants to perfect himself and grow great in Torah, therefore has to, firstly, see, grow great in Derech Eretz. We should all learn from this and see the ultimate fulfillment of Yesh Derech Eretz, Yesh Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.